It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
And welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening, 5 p.m. Central Time, that's it, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear this program again by going to my website. You can also read all of the information, the website links and all of the things like that that my guests talk about on this program by going to my website, and that's drmarakarpel.com, that's drmarakarpel.com, and the link to the podcast will be posted later tonight. You can also hear the podcast of this program as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to blogtalkradio.com, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information about upcoming shows and previous shows and to listen to previous shows, go to my website, once again, drmarakarpel.com, or go to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears and follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And if you follow me on Facebook, you'll get all of the latest news, including my Huffington Post blogs whenever they are published and information about our upcoming Roku station and all of that kind of stuff. Want to contact me? Send me an email to Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, that's drmarakarpel.com. Or go through my website or give me a call at 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Compass Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakewood, Texas, or to purchase, and call him at 512-261-7909 or send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by the Bra Lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. This program is also sponsored by Storyhouse. Storyhouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have Storyhouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. Storyhouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. And today is Sunday, June the 26th, and we are back live in beautiful Austin, Texas, where the word for the day is hot. So I hope that you're all staying cool wherever you are listening to this, and we will try to keep it cool right here. This evening, Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this program, is with us to do the production engineering for the show. And if you call later with questions for my guests, Art will be answering your call. So please be sure to give a call and say hello to Art. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing right here in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers. And for the past few few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And most recently, my office has been in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this really great resource for veterans and for their families, you can go to heroesnightout.org. All right, so this evening's program, we have a really great program. We always do. Our first guest on the program is going to be Dr. David Richo, who is a psychotherapist, teacher, workshop leader, and author of several books. And he's going to join us from California in a few minutes to talk about his book that I consider to be life-changing. And that book is Five Things We Cannot Change and the Happiness We Find by Embracing Them. And then later in the program, Laura Gelazunas will report in from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, to let us know what those die-hard year-round retirees are doing in Vallarta this summer. And also, going along with this evening's program and last week's program, when we had Steve Kane, the yoga teacher, on, I'm going to be talking about thriving in spite of stress. We were supposed to have a musical guest, Platinum Cafe, on this evening, joining us from South Padre Island, but they aren't able to make it this evening, and hopefully they will join us at a later date. So throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions, and if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or if you don't want to be on the air, you can email your question or tweet your question during the program to me, and I will read the questions on the air to my guests. And my email address is drmara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at DrMaraCarpel.com, DrMaraKarpel.com, and my Twitter address is MaraEK. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break. Dr. Dave Richo will be joining us. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Carpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com and have a perky day. Gravity.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpel.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel and your golden years right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmaracarpel.com. And now joining us on the phone from California, Dr. David Richo, psychotherapist, teacher, workshop leader, and author of several books, including The 5 Things We Cannot Change and The Happiness We Find by Embracing This. And again, if you have any questions, give a call, 855-345-4720, or send me an email. Welcome, Dr. Richo. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Mara.
Okay. Just to let you know, there's a slight delay when we talk about this. So I'm very glad to have you on the program this evening. I've really been enjoying your book and found it really kind of life-changing. There were things in there that I actually had some aha moments about.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So I'm excited that we can share this with the listeners. Before we get into talking about that book, maybe you can give our listeners a little bit of information about your background.
I work as a psychotherapist here in California, and I also teach at various places such as Esalen, which is also here in California. And I'm a writer of several self-help books.
Okay. And maybe we can talk about this book, because this is the one that I really, one I read. And I really enjoyed it. And why don't we start with, what are the 5 things that we cannot change?
Well, first of all, by the things we cannot change, I mean the givens of life that we have no control over. The first one is the one that's so central in Buddhism, the fact of impermanence, the given that everything will change and end. Secondly, that pain is part of everyone's life. There's no way to avoid it. And there's nothing wrong with us just because we experience pain psychologically or physically. And the third is that the people we meet up with in life are not always going to be as loving and loyal as we would want them to be. Another given is that the plans that we make don't always come to pass. In other words, we have certain ideas of how things are supposed to go in our life, and it doesn't necessarily happen that way.
Right.
And finally, the one that's so obvious to everyone, which is that life is not always fair.
Right.
So basically what I'm doing in the book is I'm trying to show that when we can say yes to these givens rather than fight them tooth and nail or complain about them, something happens in us that gives us more depth as people, that gives us more compassion for the other people who are dealing with the same givens. And it gives us more character also. I base the title on the little prayer or affirmation that's used in 12-step programs, that we would have the serenity to accept the things we can't change, courage to change the things we can, wisdom to know the difference.
Right. Right.
So that's the overall book. That's the overall sense of what the book is about.
And I always like to quote that 12-step saying, because I think it's really pretty powerful. And, you know, a lot of the stress that we have comes from trying to bang our head against the walls and change things that we can't change.
Yeah.
So when you say, you know, this is really interesting. I had a very synchronistic thing happen last night. I was reviewing the notes that I had written in the book to see if there were more questions that I had. And I was listening to a meditation tape, a meditation on Pandora, and just as I got to the section where you talk about the unconditional yes, Pandora went to a meditation by Deepak Chopra where he was talking about saying yes to life. And so I thought, well, this is really, really important.
Unusual coincidence.
Yes.
And by the way, my idea is not just that we would accept the givens. It's that when we accept these givens, with the realization that if the world is like this, and since everything is evolutionary and moving toward more consciousness and more wholeness, it must be that these are the givens we need if we are going to evolve and grow. So I'm not only accepting them, I'm not accepting them in resignation, I'm accepting them as if I were aligning myself to the ingredients, the components of true growth. So that's the basic idea.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people may be listening to this and saying, wow, well, how can I do that? That sounds really difficult to accept pain and accept, you know, loss. How can people say yes to these things? How can they have what you call the unconditional yes?
The unconditional yes to the conditions of our existence is a quote from Carl Jung, who is one of the people that I follow. And the basic idea is that when we are in the world sitting in the saddle in the direction the horse is going in, we're going to have a much smoother ride than when we are fighting the direction and trying to go the opposite way. So I'm hoping that the way we would say yes is, first of all, by reminding ourselves that this is a given. This is not something that's my fault. I don't blame God or man. I simply say, oh, it's like this. And I must find the place in myself that is able to say yes to the way it is. That will be the equivalent of a loyalty to reality rather than living in an illusion that things are different than the way they are. So that's one part. Secondly, it's to notice that every given also gives us an opportunity. So for instance, let's take the given of things not going according to our plans. Well, that gives us the opportunity for surprising, spontaneous synchronicities, unusual coincidences, new paths opening up different from the standard routine that we've been trying to follow. So I'm believing that there are wonderful possibilities in each of these givens. Some of the possibilities are not so appealing. For instance, things change and end gives us the opportunity to grieve and let go. That's not much fun. But when we do that, we notice that we've become stronger and that we're living our life in keeping with the way reality is shaking out for us, rather than continually quarreling with it.
Right. Right. It's like we're given the rule book. These are the rules. And you need to be able to function within those rules to be happy. If you try to change these unchangeable rules, you're just going to be wasting your energy and mm-hmm. not having a full life.
Yeah, it'll be like spinning wheels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So, you know, one of the givens, you know, I've been doing a lot, I've been working on this stuff for years as a psychologist and you know, using it in my practice and reading a lot of books. But the one given that really was new to me and kind of hit me like, aha, was the one about people. The people are not loving and loyal all the time.
Hmm.
That to me was really powerful.
So it doesn't come as a big shock when someone turns out to be untrustworthy. We grieve the fact that they're untrustworthy. We try to establish a dialogue to reopen the possibility of trust. If it can't happen, we let go and move on. But there's no way to be sure that others will be loving and trustworthy toward us all the time. That might happen, but it would be, let's say, a wonderful coincidence.
Uh-huh.
But when we come from an expectation that others have to be that way, we're designing an expectation that's contrary to the way the human psyche is built. It's built either to be loyal or to betray, either to be loving or to be hateful, and either or any of those can occur in the course of a relationship. It's up to us to be wary and at the same time trusting when the record shows that someone is trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing we can do, we may not be able to get other people to be loving and loyal all the time, but the one thing we can do is act as lovingly and as loyally as we can. And that serves as so wonderful a choice that when others disappoint us, it doesn't hit us with as big a wallop because we're following our own standards and have the joy of a good conscience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. But there may be even times that we as loving and loyal people might have a moment where we're not so loving and loyal.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, and that's where we are going to make amends, do the step that, go to people and tell them, I'm sorry that I hurt you. I don't want to do that again. I want to make
mm-hmm.
amends to you. In other words, whether we're loving and loyal all the time, we will have a practice that we can go to that helps us work through it. When others are disloyal or unloving, we have a practice there too. We speak up, we say ouch, we grieve, and we don't retaliate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
So all of this comes from a spiritual orientation rather than the dog-eat-dog style of the world without spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, and I know you mentioned in that section of the book about, having adult relationships like that, that we're, rather than dealing with issues like this from an ego level,
mm-hmm.
our goal is not to retaliate and get even, it's to have an adult relationship.
Yes, and that fits, by the way, with my latest book, which is called You Are Not What You Think, The Egoless Path to Self-Esteem. So I am very interested in the topic of how we could let go of our ego in relationships so that real intimacy can happen. Because it can't happen as long as you're out for number one, you're entitled to special treatment, and you have a right to retaliate if others cross you.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's my new topic, and maybe people will be interested in the new book.
Yeah, I think that's a great topic because I think so much of the conflict that goes on these days between people and, you know, you see relationships ending and marriages ending because of this ego, you know, people needing to be right all the time. And certainly I've seen friendships ending even during the political season because people disagree with each other and need to be right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you also talk about saying yes, not just to the things that happen, but saying yes to your own feelings. Can you talk about that? Because I thought that was really important.
Yes, that we would admit when we're feeling sad, angry, afraid, joyful, and that it would be okay to express these feelings. In a healthy relationship, all the feelings are okay with your partner and can be reflected back to you and mirrored to you, what we try to do in therapy with our clients. And
mm-hmm.
I'm saying that our feelings are also givens because if you lose someone or if someone hurts you, the feeling of sadness will automatically come up. That is a given. Of course, we live in a world that carefully instructs us how to avoid these feelings.
Right.
And that would be the opposite of the healthy approach.
Right. Accepting the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are really scared of their feelings. Do you think that's... Do you see that?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, I mean, it seems like we're being overly dramatic. We live in a society where the feelings are supposed to be squelched. If someone asks you how you are, you're supposed to say fine, no matter how bad things are.
Mm-hmm.
And with this idea of an unconditional yes to the reality of what you feel, you would no longer be afraid to show your feelings. You would show them respectfully. You would not show them in a way that invades other people's boundaries, but you would certainly not hold back in letting people know what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I know this
mm-hmm.
is a difficult task because you're afraid the other person might not like you, the other person might feel offended, might think you're overdoing it. And you just have
right.
to try to negotiate some way of being able to show your feelings that doesn't come across in that way, that comes across as truly authentic and not crossing of anybody's boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it seems like a lot of people try to hide their feelings even from themselves. Maybe they're afraid that they won't be able to stop feeling bad. If they let themselves feel sad, the sadness will be endless.
Yeah, it's actually just the opposite because feelings have a built-in bell-shaped curve. First
mm-hmm.
they rise, then they crest, then they fall. And then the next event occurs and the next feeling rises, crests, and declines. So the only way that you feelings would run away with you is if you squelched them for a long time, and then when they did come out, they'd come out in an inappropriate and overly melodramatic way. And, you know, then you'd feel like you were out of control. But you won't be out of control if you just take care of each feeling as it arises.
Right. And I've noticed, you know, in working, I work a lot with veterans who have PTSD.
Yeah.
And so they have some really strong feelings. And a lot of times they try to not feel the bad feelings. And what happens is they don't feel good feelings either. Because when you turn it off, it's like a big master switch. You can't just pick and choose which feelings you're going to turn off.
Yeah, that's sad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because our feelings are our life force. So when everything is shut down, you're basically shutting down your lively energy.
Right. You turn into a robot.
Yeah.
You know, and you in your book, you also talk about the graces that are part of our lives as humans. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Yes.
What are the graces?
By graces, I am referring to special moments that feel like gifts in which a certain wisdom or courage comes through that we know we didn't cause or earn. And it seems like it comes from a power beyond ourselves. My book on this topic is called The Power of Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic concept is that there's a gift dimension to life. It's not all about we put in the effort and then we get a certain result. It's also we open ourselves to forces that are existing in the universe around us that want to come through and help us evolve and give us a quantum leap at times when we didn't do anything in particular to deserve it or even to prepare for it or earn it. Those moments are called graces.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is just Latin word for free. This comes as a free gift, gratis. And it's a rare person who hasn't felt that that's happened one way or another.
Right. And I suppose our job at that point is to recognize it.
Yes, and to have an attitude of gratitude toward it and appreciate
mm-hmm.
it.
So, you know, before you go, we could talk about this all evening, but I know we have limited time. So one other question that I have is, what suggestions might you have for listeners to be able to start them on this road of accepting and embracing some of these givens to have a fuller life?
I have designed a number of practices which are in the book. So
mm-hmm.
one way to do this is to work with the practices I suggest there. You can also go to my website, which is daverico.com, daverico.com. And there I have various free YouTubes and talks and so forth that give you some ideas about how to do the kind of practices that lead you to this unconditional yes. Buddhism helped me a lot. That is the practice that I'm trying to do. That has a lot to do with no longer clinging or fleeing from reality, not clinging to reality or fleeing from it, but simply sitting in it and letting it be what it is and bowing to the possibility of enlightenment that it offers to us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's the basic idea.
Yes, I've heard Buddha described as the first cognitive behavioral therapist.
Yeah, it certainly works that way. Just change the behavior first. Don't try to change the attitudes first.
Right, right. Okay, so on your website, is that the place where people can go for lots of things, right? Your CDs?
Yeah, that also has all the books and the CDs of various talks I've given. But it also has, as I said, YouTube's. It's daverico.com, DaveRico.
Okay. And I'm going to post that on my web post about this program after the show. So if people missed it and they didn't have a pen and paper handy, they can just go there and click on it. It'll take them to your website.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So I want to thank you for being on the show this evening.
My
pleasure. Really enjoyed. Yeah, I enjoyed having the opportunity to talk about the book. And I'd love to have you come back sometime. Maybe we can talk about one of your other books.
Okay, that's a deal. Thanks.
All right.
I'll be happy to do it.
Okay, great. All right, you have a good evening.
You too. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Good night. Bye. All right, everyone, stick around. We're going to take a quick break, and we have much more to come, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
All right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel in your golden years, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmaracarpel.com. And before I get into talking about my topic, which is thriving with stress, which is kind of like a jumping off of my discussion with Dave Rico, before I talk about that, let me just talk about the latest news for this show. So, again, as I said last week, we're getting closer and closer to getting that Roku station up and running. We're getting the technical parts of it worked out, and soon you'll be able to watch the interviews that I have done this year, starting at the beginning of this year, with those guests who have been here in Austin and have been able to come into the studio. So the people that you've heard on this program who have been here in Austin, we also have this videotape. And, you know, I think watching it, there's extra nuances that you get from having an opportunity to actually see the guest talking. So I'm really excited about that. And you can find out more about it just by tuning in here. I'll let you know how you can access it when it's available. Also go to my Facebook page and I will announce it there, and it will also be on my website. All right. Also, next piece of news, my blog in Huffington Post, the latest one on food. It's entitled The Small Steps Needed to Make Life-Saving Changes to Your Diet. That came out. It was published in Huffington Post this past Wednesday, and you can read it on my website just by clicking on publications. You can also read it on my Facebook page, or you can go directly to Huffington Post and just put a search in for my name, and all of my blogs will pop up. I did get feedback on it from Dr. Scott Stoll, who has been on this program before, and I quoted him in that article, and he posted it for his plant-based international conference Facebook page, and so that's really good. I'm happy about that. That's a thumbs up from him. And we'll be posting another blog in July, so stay tuned for that, and I'll let you know when that one is available. And again, you'll find out if you follow me on Facebook. All right, so now stress. Last week, when yoga teacher Steve Kane was on the program, he talked a bit about the stress mechanism that we have in our own brain that affects the chemicals in our body, and how yoga and meditation helps to reverse that. And I want to just talk a little bit more about stress, what it is, and how we can deal with stress. And part of this has to do with what Dr. Rico just talked about in our discussion, and that is that everything changes. And that's the number one given in his book. Everything changes, and stress is any stress in our environment is any change that we must adapt to, and that's whether that change is positive or negative. So considering that everything in life will change, everything is currently in a constant state of change. In fact, the molecules in the chair that you may be sitting on are actually changing at this very moment. Stress is actually a necessary part of life. It's not something that we can avoid or want to avoid. So as I said, stress can be positive or negative, but it's how we adapt to these changes, whether we accept them and say yes, like Dr. Rico suggests, the unconditional yes, or if we try to constantly stop the change and fight against it and bang our head against the wall saying, no, 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 we don't want that change, that will determine whether we feel stressed out by the stress. So stress doesn't necessarily lead to feeling stressed out. It's our reaction to the stress that leads to feeling stressed out. So think about even, you know, the first time you fell in love, if you've ever fallen in love, for example, you may have felt nervous and excited, butterflies, nausea, constant smiling, roller coaster of emotions. So we often have mixed reactions to even this experience that we usually associate with being a positive experience. And so significant events in our lives, even ones that we expect to be positive, like falling in love, usually cause many changes in our daily existence, like our perception about our life or our plans for the future. So, in fact, there is a list of stressful life events that has been compiled by psychologists, and very often people are given that checklist. They might be given that checklist when they go into counseling to see how stressful their life is. And believe it or not, falling in love scores high on the list of stressful events, even if it's considered to be a positive event. So whether we see the changes caused by this event as exciting ones, that we know we can cope with, or as overwhelming and beyond our coping ability, will determine whether we adapt smoothly and enjoy it, or we feel stressed out about it. And if we say yes, as Dr. Rico suggests, then we're more likely to enjoy the experience than to feel stressed out about it. So some of the other common life events that we would consider to be positive but are on top of the list of stressful events include marriage, holidays, birth of a new child, a new job, relocating, purchasing a new home, adopting a new pet, or even having an outstanding personal achievement can be seen as a highly stressful event, taking a vacation, or retiring. Retirement scores pretty high on that list of stressful events. And some of the obvious negative events that are considered highly stressful life events are more obvious ones like losing a loved one, the illness of yourself or a loved one, divorce, loss of a job, loss of a house, loss of physical functioning, or loss of physical independence. Now, interestingly, the research shows that it's the in-between daily stressors, those daily hassles, you know, getting stuck in traffic, you know, having something just not go the way that you want it to go, having difficulty with your computer, having a technical problem. These seem to have the biggest effect on our mood and on our health because they're constant. And with the bigger stressors, the bigger negative stressors, we tend to give ourselves time to recover. People accept full events. They give us support. But the daily ones we're all going through and nobody really gives you support, and we don't actually give ourselves support around those stressors. We don't let ourselves recover. And these have a cumulative effect over time. So daily stressors include environmental conditions, such as extreme changes in the weather or severe weather, noise, pollution, traffic. If you use a walker or a wheelchair, just getting around in your environment, whether you're a walker or a wheelchair, is considered a daily stressor. It also includes social factors like deadlines, financial problems, time demands, job interviews, and or caregiving. If you're a caregiver, that's a daily stressor. Or even if you're getting older and you're the number of your supportive friends and family members are decreasing because they're passing away, that's a daily stressor. And then the biological changes that occur on a daily basis can be considered stressors. But some of these are natural changes, like rapid growth that takes place during our adolescence, changes that occur during menopause, or manopause, because men also have hormonal changes that occur with age, normal changes that occur with the aging of our body. And biological changes also include unhealthy changes that are caused by our lifestyle or our lack of exercise, poor nutrition, or sleep deprivation. And then our physical reaction to any of these changes, so muscle tension, headache, stomach upset, or other stress-related illnesses also add to the list of stressors themselves. Our brain translates and interprets the shifts in our environment and our body, and what we say to ourselves about the shifts, what we predict about our future based on our interpretations, will lead to either adapting smoothly, going with the flow, or as Dr. Rico just talked about, riding the horse in the direction that the horse is going, sitting on the saddle, facing in the direction that it's going with the flow, or feeling stressed out by it. And the second response is what we call the stress response. So, to the stress researcher Richard Lazarus, we first ask ourselves, how dangerous or difficult is this situation? Then we ask ourselves, do I know how to cope with it? And people with a tendency to feel excessively anxious are more likely to be in the habit of deciding that the changes are difficult, dangerous, or painful, and that they don't have the skills to cope with them. And this conclusion will inevitably lead to the stress response. So what is the stress response? This is something Steve Kane talked about last week, and it never hurts to keep repeating it. The stress response is often referred to as the fight or flight response, and that is an instinctual response that we have in our bodies to deal with situations that are life-threatening. These are to save our lives. So it's a good thing to have this fight or flight ability, the ability to have that response. And during that response, our body prepares to fight or to run from the situation that we perceive as threatening. And at that time, our mind and our body will make adjustments in order to deal with what we believe to be the potential stress. And this helps us to be able to get away from the situation or to fight it. And that includes increasing our rate of breathing, increasing our muscle tension. All of our will go to the larger muscles and stay away from the extremities so that we have the energy in our larger muscles, our thighs and our upper arms to either fight or run. And when we're in real danger, this helps us to prepare to run and fight. The reality is that most of the stresses we face are false alarms, and the threat is rarely one of life or death, and there's rarely reason to fight or run. And usually there's no threat at all beyond what we create in our own minds. And if we have a tendency to interpret events as dangerous, and we frequently do that, then we will frequently experience this fight or flight response for extended periods of time over and over again. And when that happens, our bodies are not really built for that. This fight or flight response is meant to get us out of danger. It's meant to be a quick response. If you're really in danger, then it's obvious when you're out of danger and you automatically go into the relaxation response. But if you're creating this in your own mind, then very often the stressor or the danger doesn't go away for a long time because you keep creating it. And this is what is dangerous. This is the real danger. Chronic stress. Having stress over and over and over again, having that stress response, the stress response is responsible for damage to every system of the human body. And Dr. Herbert Benson, who you may have heard of, he is well known. He was a cardiologist and a researcher and the author of The Relaxation Response. He is the one who coined the term the relaxation response. He wrote, because we do not typically react to a stressful situation with physical exertion, nor do we burn the energy called forth in the fight or flight response, we subject ourselves to a legion of negative repercussions. Repeated calls for more forceful propelling of blood through the body result in sustained elevations in blood pressure, and higher blood pressure causes enlarged or strained hearts that also contributes to blockage of arteries and the bursting of blood vessels, which causes stroke and other forms of internal bleeding. The same adrenaline and noradrenaline, the stress hormones, which we produce when we are in the stress response so that we have the adrenaline gives us energy to get out of stressful situations. Having that in our body can induce cardiac arrhythmias, lower one's threshold for pain, and contribute to higher levels of anxiety, depression, anger, and hostility. So in a real danger situation, we burn off that adrenaline. But when it keeps on pumping out and we're not burning it off, it can be very dangerous. So at the very least, it can be uncomfortable. But over an extended period of time, it's very dangerous. But the good news is that the same mechanism that turns on the stress response can also turn it off. And this is what Herbert Benson referred to as the relaxation response. So when our body is in a relaxed state, it's impossible to experience the stress response because these are two totally opposite physiological states. So you can't have quick breathing when at the same time that you're having slow breathing, and you can't have tense muscles at the same time that you're having relaxed muscles. So they're opposite states. And according to Benson, the human body is geared to react by providing this calm state, the opposite of the fight or flight response, whenever the mind is focused for some time and disregards intrusive everyday thoughts. In other words, when the mind quiets down, the body follows suit. So powerful, in fact, is this process that you need not believe. Any way that you practice the prescribed method of triggering the relaxation response will bring it about, whether or not you believe that it will. And the even better news about this is that by inducing this relaxation response on a regular basis, we can heal health issues and psychological distress caused by stress. So, so how do we do that? So very quickly, last week, Steve Kane spoke about using yoga and meditation or breath work as very effective ways of decreasing that stress reaction and better coping with stress. So even just spending 5 minutes a day focusing on your breathing or doing some sort of meditation where you're focused on a thought, a word, or you're looking at a candle and you're focusing your attention on that candle. Meditation just means focus. So just spending 5 minutes a day can have huge benefits. Over the period of, I believe it's 40 days, if you did that 5 minutes a day, it actually changes the pathways in your brain so that you don't automatically go into stress reaction every time there is a minor stressor in your life or even a major stressor in your life. Another way of dealing with the stress is, as Dr. Rico said, saying yes to what's happening in life, understanding that we can't change some of these givens in our life and looking for the positive aspects of them. So if our plans change, if things don't work out the way that we expect them to or want them to, rather than getting stressed out about it, looking at what are the other possibilities. And maybe there are things that we hadn't even thought of that are coming our way that are even better than what we had originally wanted. And, I think doing things that nurture ourselves are extremely beneficial in reducing stress. So getting enough sleep, eating healthy. You can read my blog about eating healthier, and getting exercise will help to decrease our stress reaction when we're dealing with stresses in our life. And some of the stressors, as I said, are actually positive events. So being able to look at the positive aspect of the stressor and being able to let yourself get excited about it rather than worried about it will help to turn it into a physically positive, a mentally positive experience rather than releasing all those stress hormones and having all that muscle tension and having the stress response. So this is a pretty big topic, and I'm going to continue to talk about this in the future and talk about some other stress-reducing techniques that I think are really powerful. So we're going to end the discussion right here, but stay tuned to this program, and I will be bringing that up again in the future. Okay, so we're going to take a very short break. Laura De Los Unis is already on the line in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, she's going to join us and tell us what's happening with retirees down there during this Go Anywhere. We will be right back.
Flying so high now, shows a man where to fish. Watch me send it, he lies in his hammock. Teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. Thunder high in that mountain, watch the clouds rolling in. Senorita, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss, and they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour behind, but the senoritas, they keep us in time. That poppy CT just blows through my mind. It takes me back to my place, Punta Mita time.
All right, and we are back. And if you're joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel in your golden years. And joining me on the line is Laura Gelazunas in Puerto Vallarta. Good evening, Laura.
Good evening. Yeah, good evening.
How are things in Vallarta now that we are heading into the dead of summer?
Well, things are getting a little bit more humid. We haven't been above 90 degrees yet, so that part's kind of cool in more ways than one.
Cooler than it is here.
So the humidity is still pretty high, and we've been having overnight thunderstorms, meaning, you know, you get roused out of bed at 3 o'clock because of a clap of thunder, so that's all good. But, people, a lot of the snowbirds obviously have left, and that still leaves, you know, estimates around 30 to 40,000 people that are expats that are living here full time. So we still have a very active community, and the people that live here full time are very adamant about keeping, you know, projects and activities and other things alive. You know, we don't, we don't roll up the carpets just because the snowbirds left.
Right. You have the diehards there now.
Yeah, I mean, these are people who have made a big lifestyle change and choice and, you know, to leave the United States or Canada and to live in Mexico full-time and in, you know, Puerto Vallarta, the Bandera, you know, in Banderas Bay, you know, anywhere from Punta Mita to Miss Maloya. And they've made a big choice and big change in their lives, and many of them obviously don't regret it. and this is a place they want to stay. And, you know, it's a great way to get away from the politics of a nation, especially this year.
Right.
But, yeah, that's a whole other ball of wax. But, you know, just getting away from it. And, you know, there are so many flights to everywhere. And, you know, if you need to get home for a reason, one reason or another, you can. So a lot of retirees are like, meh, I don't want to have the hassle of keeping two residences. So they decide to stay here because they love it here.
So what sort of things are going on during the summer? What are they involved in right now?
As we always talk about, there's always volunteer work, and especially during the summer, many organizations need assistance because the snowbirds have left. So it's a great way to focus your attention, meet new people. A lot of volunteers, you know, they go volunteer, then they all go out to lunch or, you know, things like that. So it's a great way to meet people. There's also a group called Friday Foodies that meets, obviously, every Friday at a selected restaurant. And, you know, anywhere from 15 to 40 people sometimes show up for these events, and the restaurants usually give a special menu, and it's a great way to connect with other expats living here and, you know, enjoy a great dinner as well. So there's that.
So
there's,
is that every Friday?
It's every Friday during summer season. They have their own Facebook page and everything. I think it's called Friday Foodies. So
very nice.
Great group of people. Yeah, great group of people, you know, interested, you know, if you're interested in meeting new people, getting out, you know, being out and about, those kinds of things. So definitely a wonderful time. There's also, there's different fishing things, different sailing and aquatic things that go on all summer long. So Ocean Fest is this weekend.
Oh, what is
which
that?
Which is in Nayarit. Yeah, they, just a celebration of, you know, being, living on the beach, living in an aquatic environment. This is the first one, so, you know, it's an event that, you know, just really focuses on the environment and, you know, how to protect the environment, especially like, you know, things like the sea turtles that, you know, come ashore all along Banderas Bay to lay their eggs, and eggs hatch, and they make sure that the little turtles get out at least into the sea, you know, before something else happens to them. And, you know, it's about bringing the community together. And it's rather inexpensive. It's 100 pesos, which is maybe $7. And, you know, they have talks by different biologists. They have races for stand-up paddleboarding. They have, yoga on the beach, of course. They have kids' activities. They have sand sculpture contests and different other things. So
wow! So this sounds like a pretty big event. It's not some little.
Yeah, it's thing. Their first year, so they're hoping, you know, hoping for a good turnout. But you know, just celebrating the biodiversity that we have here, and which is really kind of unusual because this is where literally the mountains meet the sea. So you have different kind of environments.
Right.
All in one small place. And I've interviewed Peter Miska, who's a local biologist here, and he's, you know, done several documentaries, and he's like, yeah, this is one of the most diverse biological areas in the world because we have so many different things going on. So, you know, it's
That's
a celebration of the fact that, yeah, they want to conserve it, and they want to be, you know, be careful not to destroy the environment.
Wow, interesting. And is that for the weekend, or is that a whole week?
Yeah, it's just this week. No, it's just the weekend.
And you said that's in Nayarit?
Yes. At the, what the heck am I, why can't I think of the name of what I'm thinking of? Where the boats dock. Marina.
Okay.
The Marina in La Cruz, sorry. brain fart there. So, yeah,
all
definitely
right.
A fun little event.
Mhm. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, a lot of people are very concerned about the environment and development. So, you know, sometimes the development takes a front seat and the environment that it's destroying takes a back seat. So trying to work, you know, both sides to make everybody happy and to make things work
mm-hmm.
is a big issue.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because the development here is really, wow, really big.
Oh, yeah. I saw that from the first time that I went down there until last year when I
mm-hmm.
went down there. It was so many things had been built.
Right.
Know.
And it's going to continue to do so. So, you know, and there are a lot of groups that are interested in at least keeping some kind of tabs on how this is affecting the natural environment, which is really unique in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a bunch of tree huggers. There's people who are, you know, genuinely concerned that we're going to ruin, as humans, ruin everything we touch. So
right. Right. And it won't be as much fun to go and visit there if it's ruined.
Right. No, that's exactly correct.
Mm-hmm. And so are there other big events going on towards the latter part of the summer?
Nothing really big. A lot of small events are coming up, cultural events, other things. The
mm-hmm.
kids are, the first week of July, second week of July, the kids are done with school, so basically everybody's on vacation.
Right.
But there's always, you know, there's a lot of cultural things, and especially with the kids finishing school, there will be more cultural type events.
Uh-huh.
With folk dancing and music and other things like that, and you just
oh,
have
nice.
To look them up online and find out what's going on.
Okay.
But
and if
a lot of people
want
to stay cool, so.
Yeah. So indoor things, huh?
Well, there's not a whole lot of indoor things because most
no.
indoor things aren't air conditioned, so.
Right.
You're going to have to suck it up.
So being out on the water, basically.
Yes, is a very
mm-hmm.
good idea.
Mm-hmm. So if people are interested in housing for next high season, they want to become winter visitors, are there still things available for them to rent or to buy for next winter?
There's always a market for that. Purchasing a place is always a good idea, you know, is a good idea because you can then rent it out, you know, recoup
uh-huh.
a lot of your funds from that. So there's always those possibilities. And during the summer months, most real estate agents, including myself, are, you know, working with people who are serious about buying because this is the time of year to come down and look at properties because, one, a lot of them are not rented. It's very difficult during the winter season to show properties because they are rented to, you know, clients, and people don't want strangers walking through their vacation. So
right.
now is definitely
right.
a time to, you know, definitely, you know, think about making a second home or second, you know, property investment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I know that you can help people with that, right?
Of course.
I
work at Boardwalk Realty, which is run by three men who have been working in Puerto Vallarta real estate here for over 20 years.
So how can
and
people contact you?
They can go to email me, laura@boardwalkrealtypv.com.
Mm-hmm.
My website's almost done and migrated to my new domain, so I'm not going to give that out just yet. But they can
okay.
also check out videos. I just started a real estate vlog, which is the first one in the Bay of Banderas, and they can check that out at tvpuertovallarta.com.
TV Puerto Vallarta. TV
yes.
Puerto Vallarta. Mm-hmm.
Dot
okay.
com. So that'll all you do is click the YouTube logo, and you'll go to my channel, and you can watch. I have 219 videos up right now, so.
Oh, wow.
They accumulate after years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, the vlog, you know, gives some insight, and I just did the first one last week, so some more to follow.
And if people want to find out what's happening down there, where can they go?
Other than TVPuertoVallarta.com, they can go to banderasnews.com, BanderasNews.com. It's the only website in the Bay that is updated on a daily basis. So
great.
Everything that you want to know about news here, about news in Mexico, about Puerto Vallarta living, entertainment, it's all there.
Wonderful. Wonderful. It's a good resource. And it's fun to read. So
a lot of stuff going on. Definitely a lot of stuff going on. So definitely want to check out that site.
Okay, Laura. Well, thank you so much for joining us from Paradise once again.
No problem.
And will you be back on in 2 weeks?
Definitely.
Okay, great. So I look forward to talking to you then, and have a good evening. Have a good couple of weeks.
I certainly hope so.
Wear that sunscreen.
No, I'm at number 4. That's about as high as sunscreen. Oh, wait, number 10 on my nose, and my forehead, and my ears.
Okay, good.
That's about as far as I go, honey.
Okay. All right, well, you have a good evening.
You too.
All right, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right, so Platinum Cafe is not going to be on this evening, so we are not going to play any music this evening, but we will be playing music next week, and hopefully Platinum Cafe will be back on the show sometime in the near future. So before we go off the air, I'm going to let you know what's happening next week.
We will go out with Platinum Cafe.
Oh, we will go out with some music from Platinum Cafe? Okay, we're going to play some of their music on our way off the show. Before we do that, let me fill you in on next week. Next week is July 4th weekend. We will be back here live July 3rd. At 5 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be doing a special July 4th show. So we will have veteran First Sergeant Will Williams, who's a friend of the show. He'll be back on to talk about the upcoming July 4th parade in Round Rock, Texas, and he'll be bringing a friend of his to talk about her little boy who has brain cancer who will be in the parade. We'll also talk about some of the other work that he's doing to benefit people throughout the community. Will is very involved in all sorts of benefit activities for children, school for the blind, school for the deaf, as well as veterans and their families and more. So we'll be talking about that. Also, musician Shannon Ray will be joining us. We'll be playing some of her original music, and we will have more to be announced. So be sure to tune in either on live stream, or if you're busy for the July 4th weekend, you can catch it on podcast right here. And if you want to hear this evening's program again on podcast, or read the information from this show, get the website link that we talked about with my guests, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, and all of that information will be posted later tonight. Also, follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, and you'll get that link to my web post about the show. And if you want to hear this program again right away, in 5 minutes, in fact, go directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And this program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere, by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by Story House. And special thanks to my guests, Dr. Dave Rico, Laura Gelazunas, and of course, thank you to Art, and thank you to Platinum Cafe for letting us play their music, which we are about to do before we go off the air. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.